You're listening to the Intuitive Souls podcast. I am your host, Tara Caruso, and this podcast is designed to educate, inspire, and enlighten. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, and welcome to the Intuitive Souls podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am super excited that the universe led you here. If you are an OG and you keep on coming back and keep on listening and sharing this podcast to people that it may help, thank you guys. You know I love you. You know that I have eternal gratitude for each and every one of you guys. And if this podcast is helping you, if it's helping you on your spiritual journey, if it's giving you insights, if it's helping you get out of your monkey mind just for, you know, the time being that you're listening to it, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a review, I would really appreciate it because that gets this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And as a thank you, I would love to send you guys a coupon code to get one of my courses for free. You know, all you have to do is before you go, like I said, go head on over to iTunes. Before you submit the review, make sure you screenshot it and send it to me. My email is erusopmrp@gmail.com. Simple as that. It will also be in the show notes for you, and I will go ahead and obviously ask you what course you would like to try, and we will send you a coupon code for free access to that course because, you know, I want to help, and you taking the time out of your busy schedule to write a review really seriously helps me. So be sure to do that. If this is helping you, if this podcast is, you know, giving you the tools that you need. You know, if you don't want to, you don't have to. I'm not, you know, that's really it. So in this podcast episode, I hooked up with Sandy Reavy, who is the creator of Intention Beads, and she is also a really amazing astrologist. Now, this is kind of a unique episode because she talks about my chart. And she shares things about my chart because I want you guys to get to know who you're listening to on a deeper level. So she kind of goes into my chart and depicts it and talks about things. And it was filled with so much information. This is a longer episode, but, you know, well worth the listen to because it was eye-opening for me, to be completely honest. I mean, she touched on things that were like exactly spot on as far as timing was concerned and everything along those lines. So be sure to follow her. All of her information is in the show notes. She also has her own podcast, which is called Astrological Intentions, and it airs every Monday. She also teams up with Dr. Laura, I'm not sure the last name, and she goes every month on Uncovered Radio and talks about astrology. So that's pretty cool. So be sure to check her out. Again, she was just such a pleasure to connect with. And we have a lot of similarities within our chart. So we kind of got each other. We're both like Leo rising. So, you know, we kind of had that in common. So it was a great time. Sandy, if you're listening, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, like I'm just warning you guys, this is a longer episode, so you might not be able to listen to all of it, but it's definitely worth the listen. So it's been real, guys. Enjoy this show.
You guys, today I am really, really super excited for this episode. I have Sandy Reavy with me, who is the creator of Intention Beads. She is an amazing astrologer. We were actually just talking and like depicting my chart, and I'm just super excited because this is going to be something that I've never done on this podcast before. She's basically, I don't want to say chart roast, but she's going to talk about my natal chart and who I am as far as what the stars have to say about me, because I want you guys to get to know me better. I want you guys to see, you know, who I am. You guys know that I'm super vulnerable with you guys. So Sandy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, Erica, I spent an hour before we even got on. I feel like I know you and I want to give you a big hug.
Oh, I know, we're both Leo rising, so we have that in common. So, you know, I just want to kind of give you the reins and you just go for it. So what we're going to do, guys, if you don't know what astrology is, she's just going to really talk about my three major signs, my sun, my moon, and my ascension or my rising sign. Mm-hmm. And just talk about, you know, what she sees as far as, you know, maybe personality traits, characteristics, what's up with me. So Sandy, go ahead, take the reins.
Okay, Erica, well, welcome. Based on your day and minute and location that you decided, I believe that you chose this time to come in. I believe you've chosen this astrological makeup, your horoscope, and I believe you chose your parents. What about that?
But I do believe we chose our parents and our families. There's a lot of times where we're like, I would never do this to myself, but you guys, unfortunately, I really think we did. You know,
like, what was I thinking? Oh yeah, I was a brilliant spirit,
right,
floating up there and deciding I'm ready to come back down to earth to learn a new set of beliefs, values, and systems. Exactly. About myself so that I can return back up,
right,
as a higher being.
And then do it all over again with another mess of problems.
And then another choice.
Right, exactly.
Just kind of like when I was born, like everyone is born pure with some memories of the past, but then we're conditioned, right? And that's what we choose, whether it's our religious surroundings. I say I was born and then I became Catholic, right? I was not born Catholic, right? And that's my story. But let's talk about you, Erica.
Let's talk about me. Oh. I'm for it.
So Leo rising, I think it's really important to know your rising sign. Everybody knows their sun sign. Your Leo rising says the skin you wear to the world is big. It's dramatic. It's a leader. It's a leadership role that you take in fun and entertainment, right? It's like you need to be who you are. It's almost, I have this as well. It helps me not be the wallflower that I feel like I could be sometimes. But with you, it pushes you out there, even though you may not want to go. The Leo part says people are watching you, Erica, when you don't know they're watching you.
Yeah.
Right? So people see that effervescence, that cheerleading kind of attitude, because you believe in, it's a fire fixed sign that says, come on, folks, you can do this. Let's cheerlead for one another. But I will do it for you because I have this ability. So that's the skin you wear to the world. Some astrologers call it the mask. I like it to be called the skin because it really encompasses your entire aura.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so Leo rising, what rules Leo? The sun. So we go to look to see what the chart ruler, and there sits your sun in the seventh house of one-on-one relationships. Very important for you to, you see yourself best in one-on-one relationships. That seventh house is opposite the first. Now it's at 29 degrees. It's in the last few hours of 29 degrees of Aquarius, which interesting says for all of humanity. How does that work now? Right? Was that ever a struggle for you on the, I want to do one-on-one relationships? Right? Like besties, one-on-one.
That's so funny because, with my coaching programs, I've tried to do, ones that it's just a batch of people and me, and I don't feel completely aligned with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I ever will.
It's for you to have the one-on-one relationship, but you're doing it in such a way that you're raising humanity at the same time. What? How does that work? Well, you've had to figure that out.
Right.
Right. Yep. So to have a linkage that takes other people with that one-on-one. That means your support system, you know, right, the people like that live in your house, that you're around day to day, even when you're not in a coaching session, you raise. Mm-hmm. You can't help but do that because it's the ruler of your whole chart. And the Leo, Leo rules the first house, but your sun is in the seventh house. So it's the learning the balance.
Yeah.
Learning Absolutely. The balance. But that sun in Aquarius really does, right? Now that's a fixed air sign. Mm-hmm. So it says information is coming in, aha moments. This is like the lightning bolt, you know, Uranus is the modern ruler of Aquarius and Saturn is the traditional ruler. I watched both. And so, you know, for you in these one-on-ones, you get enlightenments, surges of intellect, of brilliance, of messages that you're like, what is this about? You know, and it can come and go. So I don't know if you have to really write things down or, because you're, you know, we'll talk about your Mercury in a minute, even though you may not want to, but it's brilliant. I got to, yeah. because it reflects mine as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that major awakening you had a few years ago with two slow moving planets hitting two poignant parts of your chart. Mm-hmm. I wish I was with you during that period as your astrologer to go, let's stay in tune here because I want to watch you transform.
Right.
I want to watch you change. I want to watch this erratically, you know, Uranus. I'll talk about Uranus when it hit your Mars and opposed your moon, how it could have been through like a little chaos.
Mm-hmm. But just that's a little chaos, just a little.
Okay, a lot, because it was Mars.
Yeah.
Your Mars is in Aries. So, yeah. you know, you have to really feel what it is you do because you got that opposition portion of Moon.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, I really want to know when we get to the Moon, as I talk about the Moon being in Libra. So Moon in Libra, emotional, family, mother type means, you know, you want to be in harmony. You want to be in balance. You're the people pleaser. You want to make sure that everybody is okay. Right.
Yeah.
The problem solver on a maternal emotional instinct. Now that is lovely here. It's at 28 degrees and your sun's at 29. So both in air signs, you have a trine. How beautiful is that? It really is a nice placement of, you know, calm and feeling good. Your sun, your ego, right? Your primary essence. I like to call the sun, you know, if I go into personality and behavior, you know, that's really more the moon. But on a sun is, you know, the warmth and light we bring to the world. If we look at it as that, because we see the sun every day. And if we don't, we know it's up there because it still brings light on a cloudy day to the world. It's how do you bring yours? So the moon being in a trine here really does say you're balanced. You bring enough emotion, you know, the personal to the more professional, right? The male and female.
Yeah.
Female, the sun is masculine. So there's a nice balance there. However, what we've got stuck opposite the moon is Mars, exactly opposite. So we've got this seesaw that with Mars. Now the moon can be in a seesaw with something, but with Mars in its own sign of Aries, Mars wants to take that action, that aggressiveness, that push power. And the moon's going, well, I just want fairness. And Mars goes, well, then let me take it over for you because I don't want fairness. I just want to go.
This is like the conversations I have in my head.
Right? Because it's like, yeah. How do I feel about that?
Yeah.
Now you got to touch in on an emotional, go into the gut, and you might even need to close your eyes, because we'll get to your eighth house, which is nicely filled. And this is that metaphysical, the deep, not only intuitive, the empathic line you have. But as I was looking at this, and you know, we talked a little bit earlier, because I was like, can I talk about that?
Yeah.
Just there was this opposition of Mars in your early childhood, of not feeling, of maybe feeling pressured to do things, not wanting to be more movable, and you wanted to be more concerned about everyone's feelings. And that could have, you know, around third house, around communication. How did that play out for you? I'm going to say that was a little tough.
It was very tough. It was very tough. It was definitely something that, especially being, you know, the sensitive person that I am, it was very hard. My emotions were just haywire. You know what I mean? I didn't know emotional intelligence. And I was just talking to you briefly before we even hit record, where it was like, I went through my whole life not knowing emotional intelligence. It just wasn't for me. And also I was very impulsive growing up, like with anger. I would jump immediately and say something that I didn't really mean, and I regretted it immediately. Yeah. And it took a long time for me to heal that, I guess, and teach myself emotional intelligence and how to go within before acting upon anything. But it's definitely a lot better than when I was growing up. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I guess that's, I want to pause and speak. Of course, you don't mind speaking more about you, do you?
No, not at all. It's my Leo rising.
Come on, what about me? Right. Yeah. You know, the two important players that I look, I mean, I think that all the planets and sensitive points in a chart are very important, but you know, I want to talk a little bit about some awakening that you had just recently in the last few years, that I'm thrilled to know that it occurred. Like I said, I really wish I was with you during this period, because I would have loved to have heard the monthly updates. Your Mercury, the planet of communication, is in the eighth house of true search, right? Eighth house is about, you know, the truth, getting down, the research, the private eye, getting down to the bottom of the muck, and going down deep. And it's also, the eighth house is a metaphysical house placement. It also rules, you know, other people's money, sex, taxes, inheritance, debt, loans, that kind of thing. But on this intuitive level, with Pisces ruling this eighth house, with your Mercury at 14 degrees, and it was stationing retrograde. Now, what we didn't talk about earlier, maybe I saved this, you know, your Mercury was stationing the minute you were born to go retrograde. And so in secondary progression, you were 22 years old by the time that this secondary progress Mercury moved forward in a direct motion again. So I, you know, scratch my chin and wonder what happened around 22, 23, where maybe some of that kind of sense about self had a little bit of where you have absorbed for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Absorbed, right? Because it's in Pisces and it's retrograde. Information, in all kinds of information, all types of information. But because we're talking about the eighth house more on a metaphysical level, you spent 22 years somewhere below the surface.
Yeah.
And around 23, 24, here you're coming up above the surface, out of the dark, shall we say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and being able to engage now on an outward sense of information, sharing more information possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, I was never one to like, I always wore my heart on my sleeve, but I never was like an oversharer, I guess. And my husband, being the Scorpio that he is, does not like that. You know what I mean? Because yeah, it's like, yeah. I'm more of like, I want to learn more about you and, you know, I'll, and all of that. But I think 22, 23, I got married at 24. Yeah. So yeah, I think I started to just try to open up a little bit more and talk about, talk things through more. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I internalize. That's the nature of who I am. I internalized a lot of things. And I think I was just done internalizing because it was eating me up inside. So,
well, yeah, 22 years of it. And yeah, there's Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year for about 20 days at a time. And so there's like 80, like up to, you know, that's 20, that's like 60 to 80 days a year where there's a lot of babies being born during the Mercury retrograde. And, you know, right. I just did a little webinar on that because people get misinformed on Mercury retrograde. We give it a you know, an F minus when right. we really should be giving it an A plus if we do the right work.
Right. But
you spent 22 years doing that internal analysis work of mm-hmm. what Mercury wants to do, particularly in Pisces. And so now you're 22, 23, and it's like all of that embedded, embodied thoughts are now ready to share. So literally, let's just call you this very young, intuitive understanding and sharer now that you were, and you're what? You're 33 years old now. So it's been about 11 years.
Yeah.
So you've had more time in the assimilating thoughts than you have expressing them. Imagine
yeah.
what's going to come up over the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, right? When you
yeah.
spend the first part of your life, which is, you know, as we know, it's the larger part of our developmental being.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So you kind of came out at 22 going, yeah, I know more than everybody. Not that you said that, but you did.
Yeah. Very right? sure. Yeah.
You've also have Jupiter there at 27 degrees of Pisces. And this is, you know, my astrologer, bless her soul, Barbara Shermer, talked about Jupiter being the cosmic Santa Claus. Well, okay now, right? So it's like making lists. This is your blessings.
Yeah.
And Jupiter is the traditional ruler of Pisces. So your gifts are deep.
Yeah.
Internal, eternal
mm-hmm.
bevy of welled information, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was spending some time with you before we got on the phone today, you know, my sun sits, or your Jupiter, say, sits on my sun at 29 Pisces, and your Mercury at 14 sits on my 13 Mercury Pisces. So
right.
Interesting that we have very, I get you, and I'm mm-hmm. sure you get me. Like,
I do.
Great conversations.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know. So do you have any questions you want to ask? Are we doing any timing? That's kind of my...
No, this has been really great. So let's just...
Oh, can I keep going?
Go for it. Go for it. This
That's
is great.
Part of the problem is when I start talking and I get my downloads and it's like, because I use astrology as my divination tool, right?
Oh,
like, give me a true sense of the person or the chart in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And let me go into this web, right?
Right.
Divination tool. And then I want to over talk. And my daughter's like pointing to her watch. She's waxed up, hands up in the back. And I'm like way over. I can barely keep to my 1 hour readings. So when I back up and I say, oh my gosh, that alignment of Mars opposite your moon, what happened in 2018 when Uranus was waffling over that line for a period of a year. And, you know, this is when I wrote, you know, Awakening. And, you know, of course, when I did your chart, I want no information because I wanted to have a clear line in my tools. But, you know, kind of during that time, you changed your emotional patterns to match who you are now with the knowledge you have now around maturity. So if that was 2 years ago, a little over, about 2 years ago, that you kind of moved from a mature soul from childhood leanings.
Yeah.
Like, to get away from those. And then when I timed your Neptune, because we know that Neptune's in the middle degrees of Pisces, and anyone having a planet mid Pisces like you do, you know, it was 2018 when you got that feeling like you were put on a boat and then pushed out to sea, where you had no oars, you had no motor, and you had to hunker down instead of being in fear, which is what interesting that is going on now in the world, because I do think it's a lot of different things going on in the astrological world right now, but Neptune is one of them.
Yeah.
And anyone has a planet right around this time is getting asked to be more succinct in the reason why we came into the world and not stay in fear. But you already went through this feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm on my own. I have to learn trust. And it was a period in 2017 into 2018 when you had to learn that you have everything you need within self and you needed nothing external. But now how do you develop that? You have to develop your empathic, intuitive self.
Yeah. This is so crazy, because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. How awesome.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps just now because
you
could have said yes to this opening,
mm-hmm.
or you could have said, hell no, Jesus, right. Lord, get me out of here right now.
Yeah.
Pisces are the escapists. We're really good at it. I'm not you're Aquarius, but you have two planets in Pisces, right?
Right. And so, I'm in February 18th, literally the last day of Aquarius. So I'm right there. Yeah.
You are entering, I mean, especially as it progressed, you spent the first thing 30 years when we go into, you know, say secondary progressions, which is another filter we put over the natal chart, which moves very slowly in our life. You stayed for your first 30 years in Pisces.
Wow.
You know, the sun takes 30, it's 30 degrees, and the sun moves 1 degree a year in secondary progression. So it just says by the time you were 31, you were moving into more Aries energy, getting more of that up and go, but you had been collecting for the first 30 years.
I feel called out right now. Like, I feel so called out right now. It's crazy. Wow.
Call out so that I can hug you.
Yeah, I know.
Call out that we can cheerlead each other to say, girl, you're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, 33 to 64, right? My age. It's like, doesn't matter what age we are.
Right.
And for you to be, you know, I'm sorry, I think 33 is young.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. But then like doing what, you know, my first 30 years of just how I lived and how I internalized and everything like that, I feel in my soul that I'm like 80, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And I feel like I'm 12 and I probably act it. Maybe I look, you know.
You don't look 64. You look great.
It's because it's this feeling of I'm here for a purpose. We're all here for a purpose. Who is afraid? Raise your hand. I'm sorry, I can't see any of you. Nobody's raised their hands.
Right.
Because, you know, and I get so, and that's part of our excitement, right?
Right.
Because you have it too.
Mm-hmm.
Your brilliance, your uniqueness, and you know, having in the sun in Aquarius can say, do I even belong here? I like, who are these other people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did I arrive to the right doorstep?
Right. Like, can I like exchange this? Can we do an even exchange universe?
Can we swap houses for the rest right. of my life?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's Aquarius to me for sure. Right.
It's part of your uniqueness in your individual stepping stone. At the same time, having the moon in Libra that says, step properly, Erica, mm-hmm. because your brilliance needs to stay in balance.
Mm.
And Mars opposing your moon will try and pull and push and prod and get you moving. Do it when you feel it.
Yeah. And that's how I live my life. Yeah. Like, that's exactly how I run my business. That's exactly with everything. I can't do anything until I feel it's the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so to have the, and you know, if you were younger, if this was say, you as, cause I talk to moms about their children, right. And just mm-hmm. say, don't push this girl. She does enough of her own internal pushing.
Yeah.
So when you add, you know, come on, do this, do that, go there, do, you know, clean your room. You know, I'm going to punish you. She's already doing it herself. So yeah. she doesn't need more negative reinforcement that you think you're giving in a positive, with a positive 1-2, you know?
Right.
She needs to play. And that's another thing about the Leo rising. Mm-hmm. Don't forget your inner child, Erica.
Oh, I don't. I did for a while for 30 years. And then I realized that I am just so much better when I embrace my inner child and I have fun. My vibrations are higher. I, you know, have a deeper connection to my meaning and my purpose when I play. And that's something that like I teach my students is like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like you have to embrace joy because that's what we're here for.
Yes. You know? Yeah. So that Leo rising that we both have, there's got to be a little bit of a competitive edge in you. You know, even if it's so simple, like, you know, like my dad used to say, you know, last one in the pool was a rotten egg, you know, that kind of fun, like competitiveness, right.
Yeah.
To stay there. You know, I'm sure you do this as well as I is, you know, give our clients a fun homework project.
Right.
Or, fun way to stay, get out of that old system. Mm-hmm. And here's a fun attitude, you know, like right now during this mess, I'm creating masterpieces of coloring.
Mm.
I mean, it lets my artistry, implode on this beautiful, beautiful paper that I get and create masterpieces with my markers. So, you know, by using our Leo risings and you specifically as engaging in that one-on-one, being different, you're the unique person, but you're also a unique leader. You're a brilliant leader.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. You know, mm-hmm. I also was looking at your zodiacal releasing,
mm-hmm.
which is it's a Hellenistic Time Lord technique that was recently rediscovered. About 15 years ago. And so it's looking at your life as a book and that things are already written, dates specifically. And
okay.
So I looked at your first loosening of the bonds, which loosening of the bonds means a heightened period in the life of the native, Erica, okay. that instilled something. It was your first one that you had. Chris Brennan, who I follow, he talks about if you get two loosening of the bonds on level two, and I won't get into all of that. That's typically what we get is two on a big level. You had your first loosening of the bond from April of 2016 through May of 2018.
That's a long one.
Well, they get long, but yeah. Still, that was, you know, say mid 2016. Mm-hmm. So for 2 years, and you claim, right? And we talked earlier about that. Mm-hmm. 2017 period.
Yeah.
I came up with that 2018 period mm-hmm. of that changing emotional patterns for an awakening.
Right.
Yeah. So that wow. loosening the bonds. Now your next one is 1942. I mean, 2042.
Okay.
2042. And that's fine. That's, you know, we want them kind of spread out.
Yeah.
I've had two, and supposedly if it's true that my next one, third, which Chris says is rare, that mine will be in 2026.
Okay. So
there's more I want to talk about. Can I still go?
Go for it.
How long are these podcasts, folks?
They vary. Sometimes it's like, you know, short and sweet. And then other times we just keep going and I just allow the energy to flow. So
I'm sure everybody wants to know more about their leader, Erica. Oh, <gosh.
laughs> yeah. Why not? Right.
Come on. We're here. We're connected.
Right. Exactly.
You have a Leo rising. I have a Leo rising, which means that it puts Taurus at our midheaven. The 10th house is the midheaven. You have a 13 degree midheaven that sits up here. I know you are at least watching my screen. Mm-hmm. Sorry, folks. Yeah. But transiting Uranus is coming up to cross this line for you in July of 2021. Now that's just 1 year from now. And this says your career, and I'm anticipating this as well. I'm in astrology, which is ruled by Uranus, but mm-hmm. crossing a line, any of these dark angles means mm-hmm. definite change when something's coming in. So Uranus wants to bring Eureka awakenings. So I believe you're going to be doing that for many, many people in your career for the next, I don't know, 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And you haven't even reached that yet. You haven't reached the pinnacle, and neither have I. So I've been preparing for the last 2 years. So I'm just giving you a 1 year time period to prepare for what's to come, which says you are going to literally blow up in your career.
Okay. Wow. And I felt that. That's mm-hmm. the funny thing is with everything going on in the world and stuff like that, I've always had with the age of Aquarius coming and stuff like that. I feel like the earth is waking up slowly but surely.
There are more spiritual healers, whatever we want to call them, new age astrologers, metaphysical therapists that are really working on a higher level
right.
than what is conservatism, which is where we've got, you know, the Pluto and Saturn. We got Jupiter there now. We still have Mars there. And actually Saturn just moved out like yesterday into Aquarius, but it comes back into Capricorn. So as that's all shifting and moving, and Uranus and Taurus also shifting and moving, the ground on which we have stood on for eons is changing. Mm-hmm. And it's the light workers that need to rise up on this plane. And if we're right. even watching any of the social media, here are the light workers.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're yeah. here.
I've so been, called, that's, yeah.
We're called. It's like, are we afraid? Didn't we, isn't this what we're here for? Didn't
right.
Aren't we born for this age?
Right. Exactly.
However old you are, that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, we can see a 4-year-old that can instill in people a sense of compassion and feeling.
Right.
A 1 day old, right?
Yeah.
So let me continue.
Go for it.
So I know you've got a new program coming up. Yeah.
I do. I have, well, I actually have, when this is going to air, I'm launching a spiritual business program in May. And then I'm going to be relaunching the Aligned Light Academy, which is my mediumship and intuitive development one-on-one coaching in the fall again. So yeah, very busy.
That's what I want to talk about. And you have the energy to be busy as long as you connect with your emotions.
Yes, absolutely.
Remember that opposition.
Right.
As long as you're using it to, and I don't know if women are, do you have the majority of women that follow you? Do you have?
Oh, it's like, I'm like, my following is like 94% women. Yeah.
Moon, female, feminine.
Yeah.
And the Mars, it's almost like you're the, I don't want to use the word savior, but what else could we call that? And I don't want to use the leader because that's, you already own that, but the savior, because you're actually taking people out of their comfort zone of which, you know, is safe to go.
Right.
Right. Cause that was that pool that you had when you were younger, mm-hmm. but now here comes, you know, this is the year that Venus retrogrades and Mars retrogrades. Now, Venus retrogrades once every 18 months for 40 days.
Okay.
Mars retrogrades. He's the guy that retrogrades the least amount in the sky, and he retrogrades every 20 months. So yeah, we get them. We're getting them not at the same time, but in the same year. Venus is retrograding in Gemini. I'm running a webinar around that, but that's from May to June.
Okay.
And then Mars is who I want to talk about with you, because that's from September 9 through November 14. And this is about 2 months, a little over 2 months, 60 something days, from 28 degrees of Aries back to 15 degrees. Now, because we've got your chart up here, here is this Mars hitting your Mars at 28.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is your awakening portal here.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Mars stationing on it. Now, when a planet is retrograding or in direct movement, but it has to slow down its movement in order to turn the other way, just like anything, us running a car, a bike, anything, you have to slow down. And you get at one point, kind of where you're stopped, because you're in the turn and you're not moving forward. You're not moving backward. It seems like you're stopped. You have this transiting Mars gets to 28 on your Mars 28 Aries and starts to make its turn. So you get what's called the station. Any point when anyone gets a planetary station on a natal point like this is your Mars, mm-hmm. very important to pay attention to. Now, Mars, like any retrograde planet, is asking one to go internal, inside. Mm-hmm. Retrograde means inside. Mercury goes retrograde. It's like, go think about thoughts inside. Check in with your messages that you have inside.
Right. Venus,
go inside. Where are your values? Where's your self-worth?
Mm-hmm.
What do you love? What do you look like? Right? Venus is our kind of personal stylist, you know?
Yes.
But when Mars retrogrades, it goes, where is our determination? Where is our will? What do we want to move? What do we want to gather? We have to go inside to find that. Mm-hmm. So that when it comes and slows and moves forward again, and that's not till November 14th, will we have some answers? Right? Where we know our new compass direction. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as we navigate these waters and watching this Mars, you have a lot of inspiration, a lot of touch points, you know, because Mars can be the knee, 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 you know, tapping on the shoulder or underneath the arm for people. And it's going to awaken you on a new level, Erica. And when I say new level, I might mean deep level.
Oh, man.
So for you to be in a teaching one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
aligned here we got the alignment, aligned.
Right.
Light, brilliance, and fire, right? Mars and Aries, fire. Mm-hmm. Academy, your moon in Libra, groupings.
Yeah.
Of people wanting the same thing. So anyway, the third and ninth house are involved here in your chart, which says you got to take people from the smallness of third house into the big picture.
Okay.
Through what could be alchemy change.
All right. I'm ready for it.
I would suggest possibly you opening that portal, possibly September 7th.
Okay.
Right before this Mars starts its retrogression period, because it's that period when everybody's assembled and you open the door,
right?
And everybody starts moving, right? And
yep.
And going into the depths of where of the unknown.
Absolutely.
Was that a good timing for you?
That's good timing. That's good timing. Yeah. Like so, I said, like we were talking before, it's like, I want to take the summer off because I have two kids and everything like that. And don't, you know what I mean? I just have very limited amount of time. So I wanted to relaunch the Align Light Academy in the fall. So it's perfect timing. They're back in school. All is well. Perfect. Oh my God. That was so much information.
Oh my God. You want to hear more?
Yeah. Give me
one little bit.
Okay.
Just a little nugget that I don't know how long it'll take me to say, because I do like to talk. And it's funny because I don't usually like to talk. I'm usually the wallflower. My moon is in Cancer.
Okay.
My sun is in Pisces.
Mm.
So I'd rather just sit against the wall and observe. But my Leo rising, I got Jupiter, Pluto. I'm in that age range. I was built in 1956. When that Jupiter Pluto was conjunct in Leo, and I got it right on my ascendant. So when my first astrologer told me at 18 years ago that I was a natural born leader, I thought she was nuts. And she said, you have to step into it. Why did you say you wanted this if you're not going to use it properly? And it
right.
made me cry.
Right.
And the fear I had, and the tears I shed, came to the realization that just put me in front of somebody and I'm good. But ask me to go knock on doors and I'll rather starve.
Yeah.
But ask me what I do and I won't stop talking. So that's part of my little, I know I got me in there a little bit, but.
No, but that's like how I am. That's how, where I will open up and I will just talk, but I have to be in a comfortable place. Mm-hmm. I can't go knocking. I'm not a salesperson. I need to be, I will allow my light to shine, but I need to be comfortable. So that's why I love this podcast.
Right. It's right. Yeah. My daughter and I do a podcast weekly talking about the energy of the week, what to expect. And
oh, that's great. And I'll definitely. Show notes, guys, check it out for real.
Astrological intentions we drop on Monday mornings, and we talk about, and there's bits of information. It's mother daughter and people like that. And, but let's finish you. We're going to come in strong and wrap this up.
Absolutely.
Okay. So look at here sits your Pluto at 9 degrees of Scorpio, right on that fourth house cusp.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that your planet of death and rebirth sits at the lowest point of hiding, right? Lowest point of the chart. And here comes the planet Uranus in transiting, coming up to hit in an opposition. So the light and lightning bolt, the rebellious sense, right? Uranus, which is like that rebel. It's the James Dean getting on the motorcycle and getting the hell out of there.
Right.
That freedom seeker is asking to break up, break through your life and death piece here on the bottom. So there is this whole new birth of life is coming in for you from June of this year. And you want to, you know, stay home and be mom this summer. Mm-hmm. You're birthing yourself as a family, right? Fourth house is family.
Yeah.
The underpinnings that you might want to try and hide sometimes, right?
Right.
And Uranus is saying no more time to hide. I'm going to break through what you're trying to hide. And, you know, the breakdown, the breakthrough, the breakout, whatever that is. And it might also like watch your face, like watch some sort of breakout.
God.
Well, I mean, sometimes, right. And I'm not a medical astrologer, but sometimes right. These are just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But the idea is to break through.
Okay.
But Uranus says to be flexible. So, you know, being able to move in a variable, flexible ability to not stay stuck, because again, that's where anything stuck gets recharged, right? So we don't want to stay stuck. That's why I say be flexible. But, you know, we see that period going on from June all the way through April of next year. You're birthing a whole new life of yours and really anybody you lead. So yeah. Folks, hang on here, man. Erica, I'm going to stay in touch with you and watch this new part of you.
Yeah.
Come to life.
That's very exciting. I'm really excited for it. I know. I'm super excited for it. And this just basically confirms an intuitive knowing that I've had. I've always known, like, I feel like 2021, 22 is really going to be the year for me and, you know, growth and everything like that. So I'm super, super excited.
Yeah. And I actually see on your zodiacal releasing that you move into, you're only in your second chapter right now.
Mm-hmm.
The third chapter, and we don't have many chapters. Let me not say we have, you know, 20. Nobody ever gets 20. Max I've ever seen was 6.
Okay.
Chapters in one's life. So you're going into your third one in 2025, which, as we know, is going to go like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It's not, you know, 20 years from now when somebody just got into a new cycle. One last thing. Oh my God. How many times have I said that? another Hellenistic tool I use in my readings, and my favorite readings are my quarterlies,
mm-hmm.
which means, you know, I only talk to you once every quarter. And I give you enough dates and things to look at 3 months in advance, because you've got your life to do, right? I also have monthly clients, but I like my quarterlies because I help them through scenarios or throughout that year. But for you, on your birthday, February 18th, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You moved into a called annual perfection year of your 10th house. So briefly, when we're born, we start with 0 years and we start in the first house. And then we go all the way through 12. We're 12 years old when we get into the first house. We're 24. You'll be 36 when you get into your third first house. But you've gained, right? You've matured every 12 years. But at 33, you've moved into a 10th house perfection year, which is career. So starting February 18th, you are all about getting known, being seen. 10th house is the highest portion. It's, you can look at it as, you know, looking straight up in the air. You see at 12 o'clock noon. It's how does Erica Russo stand on the pedestal?
Wow.
What is Erica Russo's livelihood and how she wants to be recognized and as your reputation?
That sounds about right. So that sounds absolutely right. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. 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 You dropped some bombs on me, Sandy.
Yeah. And you know, someone about, I don't know, 4 years ago called me the optimistic astrologer, and my daughter grabbed it, you know, being that marketing guru. And she says, You know, it sounds like an oxymoron because, you know, people are so afraid of astrology. So when she titled, and it's on my business card, and, you know, again, I'm a wallflower, but once I come step forward, you can't get me off stage as I write us now here going forward. Wherever I was going with that, I don't remember, but the fact that optimistic astrologer says, you know, yeah, wow, if somebody's going through a Pluto Sun conjunction, which is not easy, but they've chosen to have it in this lifetime, because there's people in this lifetime will not get a transiting Pluto on their sun, because Pluto takes 250 years to go around the chart. Nobody can live that long to get it. So when I see that in a chart, it's like, this is your lifetime to do some big work. Mm. And of course, you wouldn't have paid to see an astrologer if you weren't ready for that work. So I'd say just hush, 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 and listen to me, and let's get going here. You got work to do. It's going to be exciting.
It is. It is. I'm very excited for it. I really am. Wow. That's crazy.
In fact, I go on once a month to Dr. Laura Berman, Uncovered Radio. I go on her radio and podcast, and we answer questions, and people give me their birth information in advance. And then I do the astrology for a quick question. And she gives the cosmic quantum therapy. She's a sex therapist and a relationship love.
Wow.
Therapy. So Dr. Laura Berman, and that's been interesting. But we have so many opportunities to learn through all your courses, your podcast, your blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all about giving as much as I can give. You know what I mean? Like that's who I am. I throw stuff around like it's confetti. I think a lot of people, thank you for saying my blog, because I don't think a lot of people know that I have a blog as well. So thank you for saying that. But Sandy, it was amazing. Thank you guys so much. Guys, all of her information is in the show notes. She has her own podcast, her website, all of that stuff. Sandy, thank you so much for coming on. This has been enlightening, for real.
I had a ball. I had fun. I love helping people, and I hoped I could, you know, just give you little nuggets of information, which you already knew, but if I could have just deepened it a little bit for you.
You did. Okay. More clarity than anything else, but I'm super, super excited about it. Guys, it's been real, and I'll see you next week.